This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Hey, it's the Paracast with Chris Kutkowski and J. Randall Murphy. And we're talking about Falcon Lake in connection with this book, and I can barely pronounce the co-author's name, Stan Michalik.
Michalik, yes.
Michalik. The book's called When They Appeared. Now, this is 67. The Conan Committee was just really not in operation not much longer after that, right?
Right. They stopped sending out investigators in about 68 or so. So this was towards the end, but it still appeared in the Condon report, case 22. And we have all the documentation. We have the official records. There was radiation found actually out at Falcon Lake at the site. And not only that, a year after the case, Mr. Michalik went back out sort of on his own one-year anniversary of the case just to, because he still couldn't believe what had happened to him. He did some digging and found more radioactive materials. In fact, he found several pieces of radioactive metal that had been turned over to the Canadian Air Force and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and also to Atomic Energy of Canada, which is the Canadian equivalent of the nuclear agencies in the United States. And they did analysis of these particular pieces of metal. And we actually still have one of those pieces of metal. In fact, it's sitting in inside a glass bell on my dining room table, and it is still quite radioactive. My cats are positively glowing when they walk by it.
So if it's radioactive, do you have it shielded?
The glass actually shunts most of the harmful rays away, so it's relatively safe. I don't recommend people carrying it around in their pockets for any length of time, though.
So what would you say to those who, like, I know when I was looking into the case, I did some background on the geology in the area, and there are natural occurring radioactive deposits there. So I'm just wondering how much you did to look into see if, well, maybe that's a factor that might have been overlooked, because I know when I do read about it, I don't see anybody going to that length and checking that out.
Oh, actually, that was investigated quite extensively. In fact, the Manitoba Department of Mines and Natural Resources thought that the radiation level was so high above background, despite the deposits there, that they considered closing the entire provincial park because of health hazards that were perceived. And again, we have the documentation that attests all this. And as for these pieces of metal, these are not chunks of radioactive materials as such. The piece that is currently still in our possession is about 4 inches long and is made of almost pure silver. The silver has radioactive materials attached to it, embedded in it, because the silver has been melted. This is completely not natural. There's no way that this could be considered natural in any way, shape, or form. So there really is no natural explanation for this.
So is this a smoking gun or what?
Well, it's a very interesting case, and you know, in the comparison with Roswell and Shag Harbor and a number of others, I mean, we know exactly where this is. As a matter of fact, I mentioned in an earlier segment that there's actually horseback rides, and it's an isolated area. That's why you have to go in by horseback. In fact, I went out with Stan Michalik, my co-author, just a couple of weeks ago. It's a good 45-minute to an hour ride into the wilderness on some pretty rough terrain. I mean, the horses have to scamper up rocky ridges and things like that. You have to be a pretty decent rider to get up there. It's not for the beginner or novice for sure. But it takes a while to get there on horseback. So it's in a very isolated area. To think that something, you know, that you know, silver could be melted in any quantity in an isolated area in 1967 and then become radioactive because of materials. If it's a hoax, this is easily something that makes Billy Meyer look like child's play. It's just an amazing series of coincidences and events in other cases.
Would there be anything conventional in terms of some kind of test that went wrong from the government?
Well, this is what's quite interesting, and I should probably tell the story so that your readers get a good idea of what we're talking about here. I mean, the case has been recreated on Unsolved Mysteries, both in the original and in the second series. It's been produced on A&E's Unexplained. I know that Sightings recreated it as well, and we have been involved as advisors in the production of these recreations. And what happened was, back in May of 1967, Mr. Stefan Michalik traveled all the way out to Falcon Lake to do some amateur rock hounding. He was a nature lover. He was very interested in minerals and rocks. So he left the night before and got there early in the morning from his motel and walked into the bush on foot. He had already staked claims because this area has, like Chris was mentioning, it's rich in not just radioactive materials, but there's lots of quartz veins that lead to silver and gold. There's a gold mine not that far away from here as well. He was spending the entire morning looking at rocks, chipping away, and he stopped at lunchtime and was eating his lunch on a sort of a small boulder that was surrounded by some bushes. And as he's finishing up, when he was packing up his lunch, all of a sudden some geese took off from a small lake that was down below him. He was on a ridge, a very rocky ridge in the forest, and he was sort of overlooking a small pond that had been created by a beaver dam. And these geese suddenly took off, and he was concerned that perhaps there were bears in the area, so he was looking around. Didn't see any bears, but something was shining in the sky, and as he watched, two saucer-shaped objects came down from the sky. They were red in color, and one remained fairly high up in the sky. The other one descended and ended up landing or at least hovering over a rocky ridge only about 150 feet away from him. He crouched down behind this small boulder to watch what he thought was completely impossible, because it looked nothing else like than a flying saucer from the movies. It was disc-shaped. It was about 35 feet in diameter, about 8 to 10 feet high with a dome, bright purple lights coming out of some slits and openings in the upper part of this thing. And it had started cooling down, is the way he described it, because it was going down from red to orange and then a dull color, and eventually was the color of, as he described it, hot stainless steel, and then just became a silverish color. He said he couldn't see any joints or rivets. It was completely smooth, a completely circular flying saucer, not more than 150 feet away from him at this point.
Now, considering they have radioactivity involved, and I'm thinking of Rendlesham, and I'm thinking of the Cash Landrum case, any radioactive impact of note?
Well, one of the problems with this is that Mr. Michalik didn't think in terms of aliens at all. In fact, until he passed on in 1999, he thought this must have been some sort of American secret military craft.
Let's continue on that score. We got more to come. Chris Rutkowski about Falcon Lake, 1967. return back through time with J. Randall Murphy and Gene Steinberg, and you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Homeowners have much more to worry about than just making their mortgage payment. One of our biggest expenses can be when unexpected repair bills hit us at home. Can you afford to repair or replace your home heating system? What about when your air conditioning stops working this summer, or worse, a major plumbing problem or large appliance that just stops working? Well, with National Home, you can say goodbye to repair bills. That's right, if you own a home, you could stop paying for these costly repairs. Best of all, call now to get your home protected and 1 month of repair coverage for free. Just call 800-887-3022. Simply call our 24/7 repair hotline and pay nothing for covered repairs. Get total protection for your home's major appliances and systems so you have no more costly repair bills. Just call 800-887-3022 and never pay for repairs again. Get your home protected against costly repair bills right now. Call 800-887-3022. That's 800-887-3022. 800-887-3022.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee, and they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Randall, you're getting better and better. Chris O'Brien's on special assignment. Chris Rutkowski, who is co-author of this new book on the Falcon Lake case, When They Appeared. I'm looking at the picture here. This picture in the book, this is essentially what the object looked like.
Yes, it was actually designed by The cover was designed by Stan Mihalik himself, so he had obviously listened to his father describe it many times based on the actual drawings which were produced. And it, you know, it looks very flying saucer-ish, but Mr. Mihalik was convinced this was some sort of military craft, because obviously there is no such thing as aliens in his own worldview and his own belief system. And he watched this for about half an hour at least, crouched down in the bushes behind the boulder, and he was actually drawing it in his notepad, which he had always every time he went out into the bushes. And as he was watching it, he could hear the rush of air as if air was being expelled and taken in. Other than that, he couldn't hear much in the way of sound. There was a smell like burning electrical motors. And a small door opened in the side of this, kind of like a camera iris. And he could see very bright lights coming out of there. In fact, the lights coming from this thing were so significant. And this was about lunchtime, so this was a little after 12:30 or so in the middle of the day. He actually had some welder's goggles with him that he was using to protect his eyes from rock chips when he was chipping away at rocks. Even through the welder's goggles, these lights were very, very bright. And he had to flip them down to get a good look at what this thing was. Well, eventually he figured, you know, this is ridiculous. It's some sort of American weapon. I'm going to go walk over to them and let them know I'm here. So he stood up, and I don't know how many people would do this, you know, standing up and walking towards a flying saucer. But he stood up and walked towards them. And as he's doing, he could hear high-pitched voices coming from inside this thing. One voice seemed to be higher than the other. He described it as very squeaky-like in sound, and it made him convinced all the more that that this was some sort of American weapon, because there obviously were people inside. So he walks closer, and he shouts out, "Okay, Yankee boys, come on out. I'll give you a hand fixing your broken-down flying machine." Pretty ballsy, I'd have to say. But the voices stopped. By this time, he was very close to it, and he thought, oh, wait a minute, maybe it's not Americans, maybe it's Russian. Now, Mr. Mihalik was from Eastern Europe, and he was actually in the military. He was familiar with craft. He was familiar with a lot of other nationalities, so he happened to be multilingual. So he called out in Russian the same greeting. Nothing happened. He called out in German. He called out in some French. Still nothing. By this time, he was standing right in front of this little doorway or window, and he touched the side of it with his rubberized glove, and he tried to look inside this opening with his welder's goggles, and he could just see a bunch of lights. Now, people have said in some of the translations and some of the versions that have been produced that they look like computer banks of lights. But back in 1967, that simply didn't exist. Mr. Mihalik had never seen anything like that. He just said there were a lot of lights moving back and forth. All of a sudden, his hand got hot because he pulled his hand away and the rubberized glove had started to melt because the side of this thing was very, very hot. Suddenly, the irised door or window shut. The entire object started to rotate slightly so that right in front of him, not more than a foot or two away, was an exhaust vent of some sort with dozens of small holes. And out of this exhaust vent came a blast of hot gas that came out and set his clothes on fire, knocked him down, and started smoldering some of the pine needles and leaves that were on the ground. And this thing took off into the sky and flew away, leaving a very, very bewildered Stefan Mihalik. He reacted very quickly by taking off his shirt and stamping it out. And he stamped out some of the pine needles and leaves, being a very good outdoorsman. But he started to feel very ill. Whatever was in this blast of gas had started reacting to him. And he started vomiting. He got a throbbing headache. He was very disoriented. He pulled out a compass to try and figure out a way back to civilization because he figured his prospecting was over for the day, except his compass was spinning around like a propeller. He put it down, and then he oriented himself as best he could and headed out of the bush. he eventually came out onto a highway which he knew ran near the town, ended up going back to his motel room, but he was very, very ill. He was injured. He had to go get treatment somewhere. He contacted his son by telephone and asked him to meet him back in Winnipeg. He managed to gather up a few things, and he actually hopped a bus, can you believe it, to get back to Winnipeg that night. His son took him to a hospital where he was treated for second and third degree burns. He was sent home, but the illness was still very, very significant. He remained in bed for several weeks after that. He had lost weight. Doctors were puzzled as to what had happened to him. That's just when the investigation started.
It sounds a little Cash Landrum to me.
It sounds very Cash Landrum. Years earlier, but it does sound very, very similar to that. You know, you've got the heat, you've got some sort of radiation, which they found later. But this is a close encounter, a true close encounter, perhaps a little too close for comfort for some people.
Did he have any long-term effects, or was it something that he recovered from?
He did have a number of long-term effects. As a matter of fact, his illness was very puzzling. His doctor had recorded that his white blood cell count was up and down a little bit, but because he hadn't been to a doctor in a while, it was hard to verify. But a number of months later, he was at work. When he eventually did return to work, suddenly in the middle of the day, his hands swelled up, his body swelled up, turned a little purple. He found it hard to breathe. He was getting some sort of allergic reaction, an anaphylactic shock of some sort, which he had never experienced before. And the doctors figured that he must have, become allergic to something that was in contact with his body. Interestingly enough, over the next few years, there were enough flare-ups that his family was very concerned, and he went to the Mayo Clinic in the United States on his own, because this wasn't covered under the Canadian medical system. He had to pay for it himself, so he went to the Mayo Clinic as an outpatient, stayed there for a number of days, where they gave him a full medical workup, and just figured that there was some sort of toxic substance that had been introduced in his body that had been causing these allergic reactions. He was not burned by radiation, it turns out. He was burned by thermal gas. There was no evidence of him being injured by radioactive material in any way.
We have more to come looking over this gentleman's injuries from Falcon Lake. With Chris Rutkowski, J. Randall Murphy, Gene Steinberg, you're in.
Looks like the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas. When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenics.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME66 to 321321. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME66 to 321321. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME66 to 321321.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
It sure is the Paracast. Chris Witkowski, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, Chris O'Brien's on special assignment. And we're talking about the witness to Falcon Lake and his ongoing medical issues. So this was some kind of thermal heat or radiation as opposed to a normal radiation effect?
As opposed to radiation, right.
Which Mayo Clinic was this, by the way?
This is in Rochester, Minnesota.
This is the home office.
This is the Mayo Clinic. The Mayo Clinic's psychiatrist looked at him and studied him for a while. What's curious is that we were able to obtain the medical records for Mr. Mihalik from the Mayo Clinic, including the psychiatric evaluation, which is several pages long. And the psychiatrist basically said, this is a guy who doesn't make up stories. He's pragmatic. He's, pardon the pun, down to earth. This is somebody who, has had enough stuff happen to him in his life that he doesn't need to make stories up. So the medical doctors, the medical community was puzzled as to what went on. In fact, we were able to get the medical records from the hospital he had shown up at as well. And his own family doctor, we got the medical records released as well. So we have more documents on this case than I think most UFO cases will ever get. I'm thinking we probably have maybe 200 or 300 official documents, if you include the medical records, the records from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the Air Force, the various provincial agencies, and then a lot of the correspondence that flew between individuals regarding the case. This is an amazingly well-documented case, which is not the situation for Roswell or Shag Harbor or even that you mentioned Cash Landrum. You know, there's not a lot of documentation with Cash Landrum when you really look at it. So this case is absolutely amazing and fully documented.
Now, how long did he live? How old was he when he died?
He passed away in 1999, so he lived for quite some time. Interestingly, he had the burns on his upper chest, but on his abdomen, he had what was described as the checkerboard pattern of injuries. And this obviously had come from that blast from the gas, from the holes in the grill or whatever it was that was there. And if just imagine you took a checkerboard and put red checkers on each of the squares and put the whole thing on your abdomen and then took away the checkerboard itself. That's what the appearance of these burns looked like, the checkerboard pattern of burns. And they eventually faded, but the scar tissue remained throughout his life. In fact, even into the 90s, you could, he would, you know, lift up his shirt if you really wanted to and touch his skin, and you could feel the scar tissue underneath the skin. He used to call them his buttons because that's the only way you could really describe them. So we have, you know, the physical effects are absolutely astounding in this case as well. So question is, what happened to Mr. Mihalik back in 1967? Skeptics just say, well, it was some sort of elaborate hoax. And
Why would this be an elaborate hoax?
Well, because there's no such thing as aliens and flying crafts like that. So what else could it possibly be, Gene?
Injured himself. All the injuries he suffered, the treatment he received, he's a hypochondriac. Or he subjected himself to radiation poisoning or did something funky with some kind of thermal assembly.
Yeah, that's generally the objections by skeptics in a nutshell. I mean, there have been some other aspects. The Condon Committee thought that it was a hoax and felt that, you know, it was quite elaborate. However, there was an interesting out in the Condon report, and I'll paraphrase it, but it went along the lines of, if this experience could be determined to be physically real, it would prove the existence of unidentified flying objects in the Earth environment. If this one particular case, according to the Condon report, could be proven real, it would prove UFOs were real once and for all. That's how important this case is.
I suppose we could say that about any given case if we could prove it was real. So to me, that really doesn't say a lot. And I've always been uncomfortable with this case. You seem to be very pro Mihalik here, or Mihalik. And I'm looking at what the skeptics have to say. And you know, the way you described how these marks on his body could have been put there actually doesn't sound all that complex to me. It sounds like he pretty much could have done that either by accident or on purpose. And I don't know about you, but I have put on welding goggles, and if you have ever done so yourself, you can't see anything through them unless you're looking at an arc. It's just not something that anyone would take out geologically prospecting if they want to see what they're doing while they're hitting rocks with a hammer. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, he took them out quite a few times, and we actually looked at the welding goggles. It's true. I mean, if you flip down the dark part, you can't see anything, but the goggles themselves are very functional for protecting your eyes from rock chips because they have just a clear glass. He only flipped them down when he was trying to see into the really bright lights that were flooding out of the craft. So, you know, it's an interesting objection and a good point. Yeah, there's a lot of effects here that would, you know, that could certainly say that he made the whole thing up. But what's curious about the book that we produced is that a third of the book, or I guess maybe a quarter of the book, is the recollection of Stan Mihalik himself. This is not just a book that tells a story of a particular UFO case. It tells the story of what happened to the family. The title, When They Appeared, has nothing to do with aliens. The title has to do with the endless stream of investigators and media reporters that showed up flooding the home and bothering the Mihaliks at all hours of day or night. It has to do with how the RCMP investigators and the Royal Canadian Air Force came into their home, grilling not only the family, but they went to their places of work. They talked to the kids in great detail. Stan Mihalik was just 9 or 10 years old at the time that this occurred, but he talks in great detail of what he remembered his father being like. How he, again, not the type of person to make anything up whatsoever, not a joker of any kind, and there would be no positive gain for producing this. So the book is not just about the story of what happened, it's the fallout from what happened from the perspective of the witness's family, and then I have two sections in the book, one in which I go through all the great in great detail, the analysis. I went through all the hundreds of pages of documentation showing the extent to which that the Royal Canadian Air Force and the RCMP investigated, to the point where they actually went and got Mr. Mihalik drunk to see if they could loosen his lips a little and change his story. They always get their man, of course. But in the opinion of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and the Air Force, they have found nothing that would dispute his story. So as much as we'd like to think that, yeah, maybe he could hoax the darn thing, even when you think about hoaxing the case in the middle of a wilderness in 1967 and getting radioactive materials involved, melting silver, maintaining the ruse for 30 years and more, it begins to stretch the imagination. So could it be a hoax? Yeah, it certainly could be. Is it very, very complex and mysterious? Yes, it is. So, I mean, I agree with you, Randall, that it's a disturbing case because it has so many elements that one would think that it either proves that everything's real or, you know, maybe nothing's real.
We're going to have more of this with Chris Rutkowski, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription, you know, the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance.
Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Oh, he's smooth. And I'm going to tell you about after the Paracast is our premium podcast. You can only hear it if you, my friend, are a member of the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. That's P-L-U-S dot theparacast.com. We also offer the commercial-free version of this show as part of the package and more benefits. Paul Kimball, another Canadian, promises us we'll have some more Other Side of Truth content when he's finished with his current projects. To learn more, go to plus, P-L-U-S dot theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Check it out. The book we're talking about here is all about Falcon Lake. It's about when they appeared. Chris Rutkowski is explaining all. We're looking into the possibility here being a single witness sighting. I guess that's part of the problem. Could it be a fake?
Yeah, no question. It's a single witness case. So, all rests on the veracity of Mr. Mihalik. It's quite interesting that the case was produced for a number of UFO TV shows, and we tell the anecdote in the book of the time that Unsolved Mysteries did this particular case. And we were contacted by NBC in the, 1990, 1991, something like that. And NBC flew myself and Mr. Mihalik and his wife and also Stan Mihalik down to their set in the United States for this particular show. And we didn't see anything in terms of the recreation, but the interview with Mr. Mihalik on camera was really quite remarkable. They set up their set such that it looked like, or was supposed to look like, the inside of the Mihalik's home in Canada. They had a nice overstuffed chair and a lamp and some bookcases in the background and so forth. All the while, boom mics and sound guys were running around. Some very bright lights, of course. The makeup artists, some reflectors. Dozens and dozens of people running around. On this particular set, it was quite overwhelming. And Mr. Mihalik was sitting in this chair that was supposed to be in his living room. And the director of this particular segment said to him, I'll bet that, so you're a little bit overwhelmed by all this. And he could see because, Mr. Mihalik was not used to this by any way with a stretch of the imagination. And the director said, you know, why don't you just talk to me? So the director set a chair down in front of him, and let's just, you know, talk, just so you get comfortable with talking with all this stuff here. You know, I'll bet this is the most, mind-blowing, the most amazing thing that you've, you know, ever had happen in your life. And Mr. Mihalik said, no. And, of course, everybody's listening to this, and they sort of roll their eyes, and they say, okay, this guy's got some really good tales coming up here. And so the director said, really, well, what really was the most amazing and the most mind-bending thing that ever happened to you? And Mr. Mihalik then proceeded to tell about his experience in Europe during the Second World War, where he was imprisoned in one of the camps. His wife was also put in a separate camp. He managed to escape and work for the Allied underground, worked on a number of missions with them. And after the war, he was employed by the Americans to go into the camps to repatriate them and to document what was inside. And Mr. Mihalik had, at that time, on the set of NBC's Unsolved Mysteries, while the cameras were not running, told some stories about what he had seen inside those camps, inside some of the ovens. And after he had told his story, there was not a sound to be heard on the set anywhere. Everybody was just riveted on what Mr. Mihalik was saying. He finished his story, and then he looked the director in the eye, and he said, that was the most amazing and mind-bending experience of my life.
Oh, I could believe that. We have so many people that come to Canada, immigrate here with really amazing stories. I've been interviewing a couple of people myself for another personal project, and getting here and their survival stories, some of them really, truly are amazing journeys.
Yes, absolutely true. And I remember sitting, I was off to one side, and one of the set people, I don't know whether he was a grip or whatever, he turned to somebody next to him and he said, this guy doesn't need to make up a story about a flying saucer. He's had enough in his life. And I guess that, you know, to put that in that perspective, Mr. Mihalik made no money. The experience was more disruptive and more difficult for his family than anything else. In fact, Stan Mihalik recounts in the book how Mr. Mihalik's wife, Maria Mihalik, would sometimes argue with her husband about, you know, why did you have to get burned by that thing out in the woods? Like, it's just causing us no end of trouble, that type of thing.
We don't see this turned into quite as much of a franchise as, say, like the Sitgraves National Forest incident, Walton. You know, I mean, we've got a movie there. We've got numerous appearances on television shows, everything else. I mean, maybe he's had a little bit of a break in terms of some media coverage, but certainly not to the extent of Walton.
No, absolutely not. In fact, the family stopped doing media interviews a few years after this had happened because they're fed up. In fact, it was common for media to contact me to try and talk to the Mihaliks because they just refused to talk to reporters after a while. It was too disruptive, too painful in some ways. And, they really didn't gain anything from this. There was no monetary gain. It was more painful and more difficult for them more than anything else. And I think, you know, this isn't like the Walton case where Randall was just saying off air a minute ago that it turned into quite a franchise.
Yeah, this is really interesting. I really do like the point that you make about the follow-up investigations. And on the cover of your book, that had made me wonder. I was looking at the cover and I'm seeing in the background these sort of shadowy, almost men in black type figures. And that explains part of the story. Part of the story is the investigation. So he wasn't just out to convince a couple of wide-eyed UFO investigators. He'd had a number of people and a number of interrogations to effect to tell his story too. Did you run across any actual MIB type people in this, Chris?
No. I mean, the case attracted a lot of attention. I mean, APRO was involved. Investigators would come up to Canada from time to time saying that they're reopening the case. And the Mihalyks, being very, very trusting people, when somebody came up saying that I'm from such and such a UFO organization, we would like to reanalyze the metal or the material, they actually gave away much of the materials. The rubberized glove, which would have been in their possession, went to APRO, and when APRO folded and everything went into storage, we assume the glove is too. We don't have access to the glove anymore. The original undershirt, oddly enough, is still in possession. They kept it all these years, and we looked at it quite recently. Mr. Mihalyk's cap, which is definitely burned, and a chunk was torn out by the Air Force for analysis, that we still have that. And we have only one piece of metal from the experience. There were two large pieces of metal and about 30 or 40 smaller pieces of metal. Those are all absolutely gone to individuals claiming that they're with such and such an organization and we're going to analyze it.
Hold off one second, Chris. So let's just clarify the situation so everyone understands clearly what's going on, because evidence in connection with a UFO case, physical evidence, is something extraordinary, something very difficult to find. But in this case, we have people picking it up, taking this evidence, and I guess never following up.
Never being heard from again in some cases. And the Mihalyks had no record. They were very, very trusting. They didn't know who these people were, but they seemed reputable.
Okay, Randall, before we go on, where'd you put it?
Exactly.
Well, we've got the secret base here, Gene, and I can't let on all the stuff we've got here. So,
well, Randall's very close to Cold Lake. You know, we have to worry about Cold Lake.
We got more to come with Chris Rutkowski, J. Randall Murphy, Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Lifetime Graze 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.